We're listening to pianist Lang Lang performing Tchaikovsky's Piano Trio in A Minor, Opus 50, along with Vadim Repin on the violin and Misha Maisky on the cello. Lang Lang performed the same piece at Carnegie Hall last night as part of the opening concert for Ancient Paths, Modern Voices, a festival of Chinese culture. The festival continues through November 10th, and it includes two more performances by Lang Lang, including one tonight at Carnegie Hall. Lang Lang may be just 27, but he's been an international celebrity for nearly a decade. Billions of people watched him play piano at the opening of the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, and he has played with some of the world's finest orchestras. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Hi.
Now, Tchaikovsky in a festival of Chinese culture? I didn't know Tchaikovsky was Chinese.
Yeah, I mean, he was not Chinese, but we love him there. And yesterday, actually, we had many musicians from China, and like my very good friend Guogan and Gachun, and we played Chinese music in the first half. And also I invited many kids that actually my foundation is supporting, and they came, played eight hands together on the keyboard, and also I played a duet with a kid.
Now, Chinese music is very different from Western music. Is it difficult to play it on Western instruments?
You need to find the right repertoire. And once you find the right piece, it's okay. Like tonight, I'm actually going to play five solo pieces from Chinese folk music, which I did a recording a few years ago. And also in the same time, I'm actually doing a new commission today by Chen Qigang, who is the music director of the Olympic opening last summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite excited about this piece tonight. And yeah, so the answer is yes.
But there was a time, in fact, during the Cultural Revolution when Russian, the great Russian romantics, seemed to be the style that everybody was composing in.
It's actually before that already, because the Soviet Union and China had a very good relationships, and then so this is way before Cultural Revolution. Mm-hmm. Many of the Russian teachers were actually teaching at China.
And who did you study with?
I studied with a teacher at Central Conservatory in Beijing when I was nine, and he studied in St. Petersburg Conservatory.
The Tchaikovsky was chamber music. Do you often play chamber music? Because I always associate you with symphony orchestras.
I mean, I actually trying to do everything. I mean, every type of classical music, whether it's chamber music, whether it's as a accompanist for singers, for instrumentalists, and in the same time, of course, to do the normal stuff, doing big solo pieces and then with big concertos, yeah.
Well, you're best known for your forceful playing style. So do you like the intimacy, toning it down?
I must say that, you know, I mean, I believe that in every artist's creative career that we are actually doing, we have a many, many different sides of our creations. So maybe sometimes people from the last few years, people probably know more about me playing the bigger repertoire. I mean, the mm-hmm. kind of a more romantic repertoire. But in the future, I will bring lots of a different type of repertoires.
Well, you've also chosen the trio Elegiac.
Yeah.
Number one in G minor by Rachmaninoff, and there are some critics who've said that your playing style is best suited to the classical repertoire. That's something you seem to be conscious of and trying to break out of.
I mean, I am a classical pianist, so it is important to play the great classics, and I think that that's my foundation, and I must learn in the best interest and to prove my skills to play great classic works.
The New York Times has called you the hottest artist on the classical music planet, and Time magazine named you one of the 100 most influential people in the world. Most classical musicians remain relatively unknown outside of the classical music sphere. Why do you think you've gained that kind of widespread fame?
Well, I mean, I really don't know, but what I know is that I'm trying to share classical music to, especially to younger generation, and to inspire them to learn instrument.
And you seem to have succeeded. It said that you've inspired 35 million Chinese children to learn classical Western piano.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Well, now, the violin was something that was much easier to adapt to classical Chinese music. But what we're really talking about is, to some degree, parallel musical approaches, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, piano is some instrument. It's kind of instrument that it's quite universal, because, of course, the most of the repertoire is from the West. But you still, there is way to adapt Chinese music or whatever music on the piano. So therefore, it's easier. And also for kid to start learning an instrument, piano is the easiest one. You just push down the keys and there's a sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, with some contemporary music, mm-hmm. you can temper the piano, do all sorts of things to it, make it sound like all things that have nothing to do with your standard eight-note octave. So it probably could be adjusted to play any kind of ancient Chinese music as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're absolutely, yeah. So.
At the opening of the Beijing Olympics in August 2008, you played the new piano concerto Music of Our Time by Xiaogang Ye. Yeah. What makes that piece the music of our time?
The piece is called kind of like Starry Night. That's the title of the piece. So it's kind of like the new future of a new generation and a kind of a new type of Chinese music. In the beginning, I remember it had some electronic music sound, and mm-hmm. then turns to pure classic sound.
Yeah. It must have been an overwhelming experience playing
absolutely.
In that venue.
It's like playing at the universe, something like that.
Right. Yeah. Billions of people mm-hmm. watching at the same time. People love to talk about your colorful clothing, although you're rather discreetly dressed at this moment. Do you
Thanks.
Choose those ensembles?
Yeah, I mean, I have a few companies sending clothes to me, Italian fashion and also Chinese new fashion. And I mean, I really like to be like my age, because I'm 27 years old, and everyone like my age, I'm pretty sure they love to look at fashion magazines and to see what fits our style. And so I am one of those guys.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about how classical music does not have as much appeal to younger people, at least in the West. Do you think that the new wave is going to come from Asia?
I believe not only in Asia. I still believe, America and Europe still has a great, pretty solid ground. Just the problem, there are two problems. One is that as a classical musician, we are not doing so many outreach programs, and, not as much as what pop stars does. Mm-hmm. And also we are not yet like them to know how to use media and to promote classical music. So that turns to an image problem, basically.
Well, but it's also the way the powers that be see classical music. When I was a kid, classical musicians appeared regularly on the Ed Sullivan Show as part of the total mix,
exactly.
along with Elvis.
Yeah.
And opera singers would be on Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Exactly.
And now they are only in this very specific mm-hmm. niche world.
Right. That's the exact problem come from.
But you don't think it's not public radio. We're thrilled to have you here, mm-hmm. but we assume that everybody in our audience knows who you are. But I suspect that Jay Leno might worry if he books you.
Actually, I was on Jay Leno when he was in the Tonight Show. I was actually three times on his show.
Oh, so you see.
He's a great, great guy, and I mean, I'm so happy.
I'm wrong about Jay Leno. My guest is Lang Lang, who will be performing as part of a festival called Ancient Paths, Modern Voices. And we have all of the listings on our show page at WNYC.org, listings and ticket information. You recorded your new CD, the one that we opened with I hope I pronounced, Vadim Ripin.
Vadim and Misha.
And Misha Maisky, is it?
Yeah.
You didn't play with them last night, did you?
No, last night I played actually with David Chan, the concertmaster of the Met, and Haiye, principal of Philadelphia Orchestra, the cellist. And so it's actually a very exciting time. They played amazingly last night, so emotional. It's a very tragic piece for Tchaikovsky's closest mentor, Nikolai Rubinstein, and he really put his heart into this work. So it's a very exciting time to release this work, and in the same time that my autobiography, Journey of Thousand Miles, is released on paperback. So it's a great time, great November for me.
Now, do you do a lot of research into the pieces you're playing?
Yeah, I did.
It's not just enough to look at the score and figure out how it would work for you?
I think the important thing is that we need to know the history. I mean, if we don't know exactly, but at least we need to know part of the history. And it's actually help us to get into the world. So it's better.
You see the Tchaikovsky and Rachmaninoff pieces as being related?
Absolutely. I mean, Rachmaninoff, he always look at Tchaikovsky as his biggest idol. And his trio is actually almost a little imitation or what? But not really imitation, but there is a huge influence if you listen to the Rachmaninoff trio.
Well, when you know a work as intimately as you must know a work, when you've thought about every note, you probably see things that most of us wouldn't notice unless we really were very, very familiar with the music.
I mean, it's not always the case. Sometimes I find the listeners are extremely talented and also very professional. And many times they came to my concert and they gave me comments on some of the interpretation and also balancing. And
does that help?
It helps a lot, actually. I do take a lot of great advice from listeners.
Tonight at Carnegie, you'll be playing another concert as part of this festival, Ancient Paths, Modern Voices. And this time you're the soloist for the world premiere of Chen Qigong's new piano concerto, Eric Huang, accompanied by the Juilliard Orchestra. What's the inspiration for that piece?
It's a very very lyrical and imaginative colored piece. It's kind of like the Chinese poetry, and also in the same time has this kind of ancient roots. But he put it in a very good way with piano. Sounds very Chinese, but it's also very pianistic.
Well, what happens with someone like you? You grew up learning Western music, I don't know how familiar you were with traditional Chinese music. It isn't played as much in China as it used to be.
Actually, normally, pianists, Chinese pianists, doesn't really listen to Chinese folk instrumentalists that often, but not in my case, because my father, he is a professional arhu player, before I became a pianist. So I listen to his playing all the time. So
it's kind of like in your
unconscious. In my blood, actually.
It's like cooking food. If you know what the food should smell like, you're going to cook it a lot better just because you grew up with those smells.
That's a great way to put.
You were the first Chinese pianist asked to play with the Berlin Philharmonic, the Vienna Philharmonic, several American orchestras. That must have been very exciting because, I mean, these are some of the great orchestras of the world.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started doing that?
I started my international career starting in when I was 17, so I would say 10 years ago. Yeah, and the first one I had was the Great Chicago Symphony.
Do you the diplomatic relations between the United States and China began with some ping pong games?
Yeah, ping pong diplomacy, what do you call it? Yeah.
Do you think that music is going to serve the same function?
Yeah, I mean, I would say...
Because there are tensions now and then.
Yeah, but I mean, I must say the U.S. and China relationship improved a lot since I came to U.S. Almost 14 years ago. I mean, that time you really feel the tension. Now, I mean, it's much better. And also, you know, I mean, President Obama is going to visit China for the first time. And I'm sure it's going to be a very friendly friendly visit. And hopefully that China and U.S., you know, by combining, you know, the two major countries, we will solve some problems for the world.
You grew up in a rural province. Was your musical experience different than it might have been if you'd grown up in Beijing?
I mean, I would actually, I'm very proud that I came from a smaller city and I still kept the accent when I speak Mandarin.
And people will know where you're from immediately.
Absolutely, right away. When I start talking Chinese, people know that I'm from the northeast part of, you know, smaller regions. Yeah. So I'm very happy about it.
What will you be playing at the last concert of the Ancient Paths Modern Voices Festival?
I'm going to actually to play with my very good friend, Mr. Long Yu, and the newly rebuilt Shanghai Symphony Orchestra, or you can say renovated. And we're going to do a Rachmaninoff Second.
And the festival continues through November 10th, right?
Yeah.
Do you plan to do something like this elsewhere? Is this something
yeah,
that you
Yeah, we're actually doing the same thing that I'm bringing all my friends last night's concert, exactly the same program we're going to do in L.A., in California. So they're actually doing it in the same time as Carnegie Hall. So it's kind of a related festival in the West Coast.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Lang Lang.
Thanks,
it's been a great pleasure talking with you.
Such a pleasure for me. Thank you.